Wonder how many of you have some area of your life that you're always trying to control. Some area of your life where you're always trying to control. If you find yourself trying to raise the hand of someone sitting next to you, I want you to know that I'm talking directly to you. I'm coming for you today because most of us, we have some area of life that we like to control. Now, if you really like to control, you don't like to admit that you like to control it because you like to be in control of other people's opinion of you. And so you'll say, I'm not controlling. And then you'll say things like, I'm just aggressively helpful, or I'm just thoroughly organized. Now listen, you are so controlling that you make coffee nervous. I just want to say it right now. And you can see it on Easter Sunday because you get everything the way you want it. You know, we're going to go to Easter church, and you're going to look perfect, and we're going to have matching outfits, and whenever you hunt for eggs, you're going to just be so cute so we can get the perfect picture, and then we end up running late for church. And so we tell you to shut up, get in the car. We're going to worship Jesus, and you're going to love it. All for the glory of God. You can be controlling. Some of you may have been there. What I want you to do for a moment is I want you to think about what you try to control the most. If there's anything in your life that you try to control, what is it? For you, it might be your schedule. We're going to do this at this time, and nobody's getting in the way of my schedule. Whatever that is, maybe for some of you, it might be your money. We're going to pay this off or have this much, and this is what we're going to do. For some of you, you're literally trying to control people in your life. I'm going to control them and make them get in line. I'm going to control my kids. Some of you, you're trying to control people's opinions of you. You spend all your time trying to show the image. Your house looks a certain way. Your Instagram page looks this way. I want to control what you think of me. Others of you, it might just be your environment. Everything has a place and an order. And if you come into my house, you better take your shoes off and don't even breathe in certain rooms of the house because you're trying to be in control of something. Now, what I want to tell you, maybe a little bit difficult for you to hear, but I want you to hear it. Your need to control, it might show one of your biggest areas of spiritual vulnerability. Because what you attempt to control the most often reveals where you trust God the least. Let me say it again, because I'm coming for you this Easter Sunday. Whatever it is that you try to control the most often reveals where you trust God the least. Because when you don't trust God in some area of your life, what do? You try to control that area. But when that area is out of control, the more you can't control it, the more you try to control it. But the more you try to control it, you actually trust God even less than you did before. And so today, what I want to do is I want to look at God's Word and show you how Jesus, just like you, could have been tempted to control. But Jesus chose surrender over control. We're going to be in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 26. And the context, this was after the Last Supper. And Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Scripture tells us this in the Bible, Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, the place of the crushing. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He was about to go to the cross. And he knew it was coming. So he spent the entire night praying to his Father in heaven. Scripture says this: he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. The Bible goes on to say, then he said to them, and I want you to notice this, he said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." In other words, there is no stronger way that he could have communicated the angst, the emotion, the agony, the weight of knowing what he was about to endure. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." I don't know if I can even take it. And he says, "Stay here and keep watch with me." The next verse says this: going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed. And I love the honesty. "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken away from me." So often when we read about Jesus, we think, oh, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God. He was all God. And at the same time, he was all man, meaning he hurt physically. He had physical needs. He emotionally, he would be hurt. And he's praying, "God, if there's any other way, like, this is not what I want. This is not good for me. This is going to hurt me. God, if there's any other way at all, please remove this cup of suffering from me. My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death." And then he says, "May this cup be taken away from me. Yet not as I will, Father, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "I gave you one job, stay awake, and you fell asleep while I was praying." Now, I don't want to be too hard on them. I may have fallen asleep once or twice praying. I used to always do that as a kid. Anybody ever fall asleep when you're praying? I would get bored praying. I think God would get bored when I was praying. Like, you know, come on, get on with it. And I would fall asleep. And then I'd feel horrible because I thought God would send me to hell because I didn't say amen at the end of my prayers. I didn't, you know, sign off. Amen. 10-4. I'm done in Jesus' name. And so I would actually pray to God extra amens, like, "Here's an extra amen, and another one, amen, and another one, amen." And then I would ask him to multiply them times amen. amen, amen. That's three times. Three times three is nine times amen, amen. That's 27 times. And I can't do 27 times three, but somebody can. And so I would multiply these until there are probably thousands of amens stored up in spiritual places that I could draw from if I ever fell asleep. So if you ever fall asleep and forget to say amen, you can take one of mine stored up for you. That's my gift to you. Okay, so disciples fell asleep praying. And Jesus went away a second time. Sometimes surrendering takes more than one attempt. And he prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." With absolute certainty, Jesus trusted his Father God, and he chose surrender over control, which is not the cultural norm, is it? I mean, every part of culture teaches us, take control. You take charge. You make it happen. You control your destiny. And that's why I want to tell you today that you don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. You can't control everything, but you can trust whatever is on your mind to our Father. So, I have a question for you. I want you to think about this, and it's a little bit more complicated than you might first think. I'm curious. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you would rather have your will or God's will? What do you think? Would you rather have what you want or what God wants? And a lot of you spiritual people go, "I want what God wants." Do you really? Because sometimes I don't. Like, I want what God wants until it's different than what I want. Then I want what I want, right? Don't be so spiritual. I'd be like, "You know, God, I want your will, but just don't make me be a missionary to Africa, all right? God, I want your will, but don't make me marry someone unattractive." Can we even say that on Easter? You're not laughing about this, maybe because you feel that way at some point in your life. Don't make me marry someone I don't like that much. All right? Because most of us, we want to believe that whenever we surrender our lives to Jesus, whenever we trust God, that he's going to give us a happy and a healthy and a comfortable and a trouble-free life. That's what so many people believe today. But Jesus doesn't invite us to a life of comfort and ease, but to a life of sacrifice and surrender. So I ask you the question, and I want you to think about it. What are you trying to control that God wants you to surrender? What are you trying to control that God wants you to surrender? And I'm going to make it a little bit complicated on you because I haven't seen maybe a lot of you for a while, so I might as well work this as hard as I can, because what you attempt to control the most might reveal where you trust God the least. What are you trying to control? Think about it. Is it a relationship? Is it something that's going on with a child? Is it a health issue? Is it something that you're afraid of? Is it something that's giving you anxiety? Is it your future? What is it that you're trying to control that God wants you to surrender? And to be really, really clear, when you're thinking about it, I just want to tell you that there are some things that you do want to be involved in. And that's why there's three questions that I always ask myself when I'm tempted to take control. Let me show you the questions that I ask. I always ask, is it worth my concern? Okay. I ask, is it mine to control? I ask, is it worth my concern? Is it mine to control, or is it for God alone? Okay. So the first thing is, some of you were simply trying to control something that isn't a big deal at all. And you all have that kind of thing. See, some of us, we have these stupid things that we're trying to control that don't really matter that much. And sometimes you have to ask yourself, is this really worth my concern? No, it's not. Second question, is it mine to control? Because sometimes there is something that you need to do about it. In other words, like, you need to pay your electric bill if you want air conditioning in the summer. Or if you're spending more, you have more expenses than your income, you might need to cut back, take on a second job or something. There may be some things you need to do. Like, you really want to get married. Maybe take a bath. I don't know what it would be. You know, maybe shave. Maybe, you know, put some spray something on you. Whatever. The third question. Is it worth my concern? Is it mine to control? Or is it for God alone? And there are times when you have to recognize this is really God's. It's God's. I can't change my spouse, but God can. So I trust my spouse to God. I can't heal my body, but God can. So I'm going to surrender this to Him. I can't control my children. I'm praying that God would do that. I can't control the future. I'm surrendering this to God. And that's why I love with all my heart Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, when Scripture says to trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Because there's no such thing as partial surrender to God. Well, I'm about 63.9 surrendered to the Lord. No. Some of us will surrender like our salvation and trust Him with that. But we're not going to trust Him with the tithe. Or I'm going to trust God to answer your prayers, but I don't think He'll answer my prayers. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him or acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. The word in the Hebrew, in all your ways, submit or acknowledge, that's the word yada. And the best translation of that word, it means to know. Like, in all your ways, know God. Know Him. And He'll make your path straight. So, when you think about Jesus in the garden, at any moment, He could have taken control. He could have taken control. But He said, not my will. And when He prayed that, the guards showed up to arrest him. And Peter, if you know the story, took control. Peter took out a sword and said, "Not today, Roman soldiers." And he cut one guy's ear off. And Jesus is like, "Peter, Peter, Peter, what? You know, where's that guy's ear? Can someone find his ear? Hey, it's over here in the bushes. You know, here's his ear." And Jesus put it on and he said, "Be healed in my own name." And Jesus healed his ear. And he said, "Peter, we're not going to do it that way. Because, Peter, I could have called legions of angels and taken everybody out. But I chose surrender to my Father instead of control." So everything went perfectly right for Jesus because he surrendered to the Father, right? Not even close. He was arrested and beaten mercilessly until he didn't even look like a human being. Whipped 39 times across his back until his internal organs likely would have been exposed. They put a crown of thorns on his brow. They drove stakes through his wrists and through his feet. And the sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God, hung naked on a cross while the creation cursed the Creator. And with every bit of love in his heart, he looked up to heaven and prayed, "Please, Father, forgive them, because they don't even know what they're doing." And he said, "It's finished. I did everything that you sent me to do." And the ultimate cry of surrender, he prayed, "Into your hands, I commit my spirit." And he breathed his last. The earth went dark and shook. Jesus chose surrender. And the story didn't end there. Because 3 days later, when the women went to check on the tomb, by the power, the glory of God, the stone was rolled away. The tomb was completely empty. The Son of God was not there. He was risen from the dead, defeating death, hell, and the grave. The Son of God became sin for us and died in our place and rose from the dead so that anyone, listen to me, anyone, any one of you, no matter what you've done, no matter how broken you are, no matter how far off from God you feel, no matter what you said, no matter who you hurt, no matter how full of sin and brokenness your life is, even to this day, if you call on Him, the Son of God, the risen Savior, He hears your prayers. He forgives your sins. He makes you brand new. You don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. Always have the power to surrender. Now, and I want to show you what Jesus said in Scripture. Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 10:39, he said, "If you cling to your life, if you try to control it, if you always try to be in charge, if you cling to your life, you lose it. But if you give your life up for me, you will find it." In other words, surrender isn't just a one-time decision, but it's a daily choice to follow Jesus. To really follow Him is to surrender control. So what are you trying to control that God wants you to surrender? If you ask me what it is that I'm going to surrender, I'm going to surrender you. Because my heart is so heavy and I've prayed so much for you. For a few minutes, I get a shot at you to help you experience the goodness and the grace and the power of our good God. I surrender you because I can't convince you. And I can feel the pain of what so many of you are facing right now. I mean, I can like feel it. It's so difficult out there. And that's why I surrender you. Because I'm afraid that some of you, you're 20 inches away from having your life changed. 20 inches. You got a little bit in your head, but you're about 20 inches away from knowing Jesus in your heart. Because when you know him, you just have to praise him. And you have to be with him. And you have to be with his people. You just can't not, because he's that good. So, and I invite you to surrender. I invite you to surrender all. And when you surrender all, it doesn't mean a happy, perfect life. Jesus invites us to a life of surrender and sacrifice. And I want you to know him. To know him. How do you know him? If you feel alone, you can know Jesus as your friend. If you're battling depression, you can know Jesus as your peace. If you're financially uneasy, you can know him as your provider. That's who he is. If you're sick, he's your healer. Know him as your healer. And if you've messed up, and if you've sinned, and if you've fallen short, and if you're broken, and if you hurt people like I've hurt people, and done things you're ashamed of, you can know him as your Savior. Just know him. Know him. Know him. When you get to know him, who is he? Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the flock. He's the one who restores your soul. Surrender to him. Surrender to the light of the world, because darkness shall never overcome the light. Surrender to the bread of life, the living water. When you surrender to him, you'll never hunger and you'll never thirst again. He is that good. He is present and he loves you. When you surrender to him, you surrender to the rock and the shield and the fortress. He is your ever-present help in time of trouble. He is the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. And he's the Lion of Judah who rules forevermore. He is the King of all kings, and he's the Lord of all lords. And he understands all your weaknesses. And he was tempted in every way you are, but he did not sin. Therefore, you can come boldly before his throne of grace to find help in your time of need. And our God raised Jesus from the dead so that anyone who calls on his name, your name would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your sins would be forgiven, and you would be made new. Maybe surrender to him now. What do you surrender to him? Surrender a fear that's held you hostage. Surrender your anxiety to him. Ask him to heal your depression. Call on him and ask him for a miracle in your marriage. Surrender that child that weighs on your heart. Give it all to God. You don't always have the power to control, but you always can surrender. Tell him you surrender. Trust him today. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Let us pray. Father, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would do a work that only you can. As we surrender to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we pray in this moment, just as Jesus knelt in the garden and said, "This isn't what I want, but I trust you, God. Your will be done." With all of our hearts, God, we trust you. With what we can't control, we trust you. We surrender. Heavenly Father, work in a release and a peace that goes beyond all human understanding, that would guard our hearts and our minds and our souls in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.